It's funny what gets you out of bed. I've been awake for a while, and as you do, lying there, browsing on my phone, catching up with all kinds of stuff. One article that came through a feed reader today that I found particularly interesting comes from PCWorld.com, and the article is by Nancy Goring, who is, I'm going to spell her name, IDG Nancy, that's the way to spell it, I guess, on Twitter. Now, what interested me was the title, Ham Radio, Not a Viable Option for Egypt. And I thought, oh, well, that's a real shame, because amateur radio gets used all over the place in times of emergency or when people may be in danger. But on this instance, it appears amateur radio falls short, not only because of the cost to a certain extent, but because of the regulation. I'm putting a neck out here saying this, because I know pretty much nothing about amateur radio. I was a CB user, and I saw ham radio as grown-up CB use. I was on the CB for few years in my much younger years, and I love the fact that you could pay for your 10 quid license, whatever it was. I can't remember, I never actually had one. I don't think I did for a bit, but I lived absolutely out in the middle of nowhere. I had a huge aerial on a borrowed scaffold pole, which meant that I could effectively talk internationally, but used to concentrate on chatting amongst my friends. My CB was mounted under a cabin bed. I had a Cybernet Beta 3000, a Mini Midland, a couple of other bits and bobs. Also had one on a push bike for a while, which I'd borrowed off Stuart McIntosh of Opus VL, who is, I think, Mackie on SMS something Mackie on Twitter. I'll find out and link later. But anyway, we had such incredible fun. And before the mobile phone, before the internet, this social networking with regular meetups, this means of communication, which was incredibly liberating for a young person, was just fantastic. And I always thought this would be great, you know, should terrible things happen, we can communicate with one another and find out what's going on. And it occurred during floods and a terrible winter, where I was pretty much, because we lived down the bottom of a bridle path, pretty much was my lifeline to everybody else, apart from the telephone, obviously, but that's boring because you're only normally allowed to talk to family when you're that young. So this article here, if you don't mind me reading a section of it, you can find it on PCWorld.com or just Google Ham Radio, Not a Viable Option for Egypt. And I'll drop a link in the comments on Audioboo. So, despite the best efforts of internet activists who are trying to help Egyptians communicate with the outside world, ham radio isn't a viable option in this situation, experts said. The Egyptian government has ordered the shutdown of all ISPs, internet service providers, as well as some cell phone services. The move appears aimed at disrupting protesters who have been demonstrating across the country since last week. They are calling for the ouster of Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak. I haven't had any coffee this morning and I've just got up. So, that's not in the article, that's me talking now. I did hear that some people had very cleverly set up some kind of mesh networking system, possibly with consumer satellite dishes of some sort. There was a report come out of flats very secretly creating a kind of internet network, either via Satlink or the reports were a bit flaky, but they are getting emails out and news in. Wouldn't it be fantastic though if they could use amateur radio? I'll continue on in the article. In order to fill the communications gap, supporters around the world have set up free dial-up phone lines and are trying to get the word out to Egyptians that are monitoring certain ham radio bands for their transmissions. However, despite reports of ham radios being used to send Morse code. There have been no confirmed transmissions out of Egypt, said Alan Pitts, a spokesman for the National Association for Amateur Radio. I haven't heard of any transmissions, period, he says. Surely that should be, I haven't heard of any transmissions, stop. No. So, the group We Rebuild has set up an IRC for ham radio enthusiasts around the world, listening for transmissions on the designated band. They have reported hearing what may be Morse code and possibly some audio messages. Hearing little, the supporters sometimes voice their frustration. One guy called Plus Ham Guy joked, who needs a social life when you can listen to faint beeps all day long while talking to complete and utter strangers? That sounds a little bit like Twitter, actually. So there's been a long history of ham radio in emergency situations, but it's not ideal for the current situation in Egypt, Pitt said. Ham radio does do wonderfully in situations like this, but in this particular case, there is nobody transmitting, he said. They go on to explain the reason. That may be partly because there are few ham radio users in Egypt to begin with. Most people cannot afford it or do not have the political connections needed to get a license. Now, that stopped me for a moment and I'm thinking, God, you know, this is one of the big blocks. The fact that in a country like Egypt, you may well have to know some serious people before you can even get a license to own this equipment. Communication is seriously powerful. I think all the more reason for us to have a completely independent ability to communicate outside of the government. This probably sounds really, really revolutionary now. But it's in instances exactly like this. Now, I took a very quick peek, like I say, into what I called grown-up CB, amateur radio, the ability to communicate with the world, and buy way, way more serious geeky kit with many, many more knobs and screens on than my normal CB radio had. Now, the problem was for me that there were so many rules and regulations. You're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that. I'd love browsing through the CB channels and coming across a conversation which was a little bit heated, or a discussion that you just wouldn't normally hear. And people were self-policing in a way on the CB, as much as because it was more localised. Amateur radio says it's self-policing as well, in the same way, with amateur radio users telling each other off and because they're not adhering to exactly the right rules, be it, you know, you're one slither off a particular frequency, or you have forgotten to give your what is effectively a registration number within a 10-minute time slot. I get lost in conversations all the time. I wouldn't think to go, oh, incidentally, my name is... I really didn't like that bit. And I think now radios digitally send a signature, so each radio is coded in some way, so like a mobile phone to a certain extent, so whoever is using that radio is instantly trackable. That's pretty scary, isn't it? That's pretty scary and goes against, to a certain extent, freedom of speech. Please, if you are into amateur radio and you've listened to my morning ramblings this far, please let me know if this is erroneous in any way, if, you know, and correct me and add as much information as you like. I'd love to learn about this, but for me, it sounds like a very restrictive technology. In instances like this, I'm sure it's wonderful fun, and we've seen amazing cases of amateur radio being used to positive effect. But providing the government thinks it's okay to do that, which I think is a major flaw. Let me continue on. So we've talked a little bit about the cost and the difficulty in getting licenses. Although there has been little to no traffic coming out of Egypt, ham radio enthusiasts have been having a lively discussion about whether the technology should be used in a situation of political upheaval. Amateur radio should not be used for this political person's purpose, especially to subvert the will of any government. It's not its purpose. This is not emergency communications. A person with the call sign KB3X wrote in a forum of ham radio users, which is an interesting statement in itself. But others said the situation in Egypt was exactly the type of emergency where ham radio can be helpful and the politics behind it is irrelevant. There is an international gentleman's agreement that people don't talk politics or religion over ham radio, Pitt said. But to use ham radio in a situation of unrest where people are communicating to improve their safety is a good use of the technology, he said. In fact, some cities, including Seattle, have emergency response centres that include rooms set up for ham radio enthusiasts who volunteer to help with communications during emergencies. It wouldn't matter if the emergency were a natural disaster or political unrest. The bottom line is that aside from politics, people are concerned about the health and well-being of folks that are over there, said Mark Shepherd, who heads emergency communications for Seattle's Office of Emergency Management. It would be totally normal and accepted, for instance, for someone in Seattle to use ham radio to try and speak with someone in Cairo about locating a friend or family member there, he said. I'm amazed that we're even having this discussion and conversation. If there is a means of communicating out of Cairo, people should feel free to use it. There should be a way of switching off any kind of tracking beep, and is the government really going to send out vans to triangulate the position of an area which, if used correctly, should be able to be moved to get news out and news in? Last paragraph. Ham radio was used for communications in other recent emergencies around the globe, including the earthquake in Haiti and the tsunami in the Indian Ocean, he said. It was also used during the invasion of Kuwait by Iraq when a dedicated operator continued to broadcast. Sorry, I've got to stop myself there. A dedicated opera continued to broadcast was not what I meant. A dedicated operator continued to broadcast information about what was happening in Kuwait after other forms of communications were cut. As I said, that's written by Nancy Goering, who is IDG Nancy on Twitter. It's a great article and has really opened my mind up to limitations that I was kind of aware of, but I'm now seeing that I think should really be sorted. Because, say, for example, let's go to the normal conversation that I might get into with friends after quite a few beers. Society collapses. Wouldn't amateur radio just be a fantastic way, with repeaters being able to be set up with solar panels and communication on an international level possible with very limited kit that a lot of really keen enthusiasts who have spent more than probably half the portion of their life being extremely geeky to understand all this stuff and what incredibly valuable skills they have. Wouldn't it be wonderful if something could just be slung up? I fear, though, that a lot of these people would be like, oh no, we can't do that because Section 32, Paragraph 4 says that you really... That's just a standard voice. I'm not saying that amateur radio operators sound like that. We kind of... I think we need to relax something here. I think if somebody creates a radio which works on a frequency outside of all the thousands and thousands and thousands of frequencies that have been bought up by governments. What is a frequency? Why can they solely be owned by governments? I understand that they, to a certain extent, have to be policed and allocated so there isn't chaos going on. Let's have the chaos channels. Let's have this slightly chaotic area of the neighbourhood in ethereal nothingness where we are allowed to transmit as we want. And if people want to listen, let them listen. If the authorities want to listen, let them listen. But only step in if heinous crimes are being... are happening. I'm taken back to a moment in my old hometown of Rugby where on the CB one night I overhear something that sounds suspicious, like people stealing car wheels and using the CB. I mean, this is how stupid they are. Using the CB as a kind of lookout technology. So they had someone at the end of the road with a handheld CB. They had someone in the car and they had someone actually stealing wheels. And they got caught using open channels to do this kind of thing. So the community
should self-police, a little bit like Twitter does in some ways, but there should be a way of going under the radar, or at least being unrecognised. I've said enough about something I know very little about. Please add to the conversation if you have anything valuable to add. Thanks very much.